All right, guys. Well, welcome to episode 2 of the Sports Legacy Podcast. Today, we're calling it Jason's bye week.
Yep.
Skipping out on us. Caleb. Yeah. So we got me and Caleb on here. The unofficial name of Coffee Blitz. don't know if Caleb has his coffee ready, but I've been sipping on it since 8 a.m. this morning, so I'm ready.
Oh, I don't drink coffee.
Got to change that. Can't be a part of this podcast without coffee.
I got my hot chocolate. If it's got a Starbucks logo on it, I'm pretty sure it counts, doesn't it?
I guess. Maybe like to maybe to some white girls, but yeah. All right. Well, yeah, we'll just jump right in here. Let's recap some games from this week. We got obviously the one tonight, but which this is Monday for everybody listening.
Some predictions on that.
Yep, we can get some predictions, but we'll start with the Thursday night game, which
not much
was
to talk about there.
Yeah, not much to talk about other than Big Ben is in midseason form, as well as the Steelers, 52-21, exposing the Panthers. We talked about that a little bit earlier. Yeah, like you said, not much here, but this is to me.
I think I'm going to go ahead and on my sleeper Super Bowl pick, I believe I had the Panthers and Chargers, and I'm going to go ahead and lay that one to rest because the Panthers, I think they just proved to me that they were riding out a pretty easy loaded front half of the schedule, and then right when things got serious, they come out and laid an egg on primetime.
Yep. I'm going to go ahead and agree with you there as well. So cool. Yeah, nothing to talk about there. I mean, this is like I was telling Caleb earlier, this is classic Steelers midseason. So,
yep.
TJ Watt is looking great. He's killing it. That Steelers defense is actually looking improved, which is crazy. Cause that's been like one of their weak points for a while, and they're actually looking pretty good now. So this is a classic Steelers midseason. So to the noon games, we can start with a little Kansas City, Arizona, 26-14.
Oh, jumping right into it. All right.
Yeah, might as well. One of the first games, 26-14, Chiefs take the dub. At first I'm like Arizona in Kansas City, like I'm like, okay, this is a blowout, has to be, like the Cardinals O-line is terrible, like there's no way, and Josh Rosen still threw two INTs, but like we were kind of talking about yesterday, honestly, like, and I think I said this last week or the week before, but the Cardinals are a good O-line away from being good, in my opinion, because, I mean, if you watch last night, they made, or yesterday afternoon, they made Kansas City's defensive line look like an all-star defensive line.
D-Ford and Justin Houston were killing it.
Yeah, they got to help Josh Rosen, man. I like a lot of the throws he was executing. I mean, not terrible, not like too terrible, 22-39, like just above 50%. And I mean, if you watch those two interceptions, they were both under pressure. They gotta help him out, man. Like there's a lot of line talent in this draft, and they should have traded somebody for, I should have traded Patrick Peterson for like a first round pick or something just to help him out. But I know you have some opinions about this. This game we were talking about yesterday.
Yeah. So obviously, this was always going to be a trap game. You know, you got that big Monday night game on the schedule circled. That's all you're talking about, all you're focused on. That's coming up next week in Mexico against the Rams. It's the shame Marcus Peters game. It's people think it's going to be the Super Bowl. It's not going to be the Super Bowl. Just throwing that out there, even as a Chiefs fan, I don't see that being the Super Bowl. And so clearly there was a little bit of overlooking it, you know, kind of going through the motions like, oh, it's the Cardinals. And, you know, the Cardinals came out and tried to, you know, kind of give him a punch in the face. They came out strong. Rosen was looking solid early. And, man, the defense, Chandler Jones was living in the backfield. And that was one of the worst games I've seen our O-line play. And I really think the Cardinals were onto something there and kind of gave, you know, blueprints to slow down that KC offense. I really think more teams you're going to start seeing the next couple weeks bringing a lot more heat, trying to get to Mahomes, trying to break down our O-line. And that's an area of concern. That's what I want to look out for, see how we respond to that. Obviously, Andy Reid's a play-calling genius, and he can come up with stuff on the fly. And so we'll see how we look next week. But, yeah, the way they were getting pressure all day, and, like, I told you yesterday, and like you were just saying, I think if Josh Rosen had any sort of O-line, that dude would be on pace for Rookie of the Year, because the production, he's thrown some interceptions, but like you said, there's always someone in his face when he does. And, you know, he's still putting up decent competitive numbers, and he's got no O-line whatsoever to work with. So, like, they draft heavy on O-line, sign some free agents, whatever, get him some protection. Him and Christian Kirk are looking like a great duo.
I can't wait. I can't wait for that. And, yeah, dude, you guys have known, like, I've always been high on two quarterbacks from this draft, and I like Lamar Jackson too, but, I mean, who knows if we're going to actually see him start, which, in to quote the words of Colin Cowherd, vote Lamar. But I've always been high on Josh Rosen and Baker Mayfield both, and I think it's going to be, once they get an O-line in there, he's going to have good success. I think they have their franchise quarterback.
Yeah, I mean,
that's for sure.
You remember back around the draft, I threw this comp out there, and it's not an easy comp for me to throw out, because the guy I'm comparing him to, I'd say Josh Rosen's ceiling is Aaron Rodgers-esque. I think he could be around that kind of production. And you know where I stand with Aaron Rodgers, so that's not low ball. Like, that's high praise. And
yeah,
so,
for sure.
Yeah, I got a lot of faith in Josh Rosen and things yet to come. But, yeah, Chiefs win by 12. They were, I mean, Vegas had them favored as 17, so it was really a disappointing game. But, you know, if that's going to be Mahomes' letdown game or whatever and we win by 12, I'll take it. So that's about my take for that. The other afternoon games, we had the Bears and the Lions.
I don't know if you saw that highlight, but, you know, just Khalil Mack just running through two defenders or two offensive linemen trying to throw blocks, and he just, like, pounded his way through.
Yeah,
like,
sounds like
insane.
Sounds like Khalil Mack being Khalil Mack. But how about old Mitchell Trubisky going? He had a nice little 23 of 30, 355 yards with three touchdowns. Looks like the Andy Reid disciple, Matt Nagy, he's doing some good work over there and really bringing Trubisky along, because I was never high on Trubisky.
I'm still not high on Trubisky, but, I mean, he's I don't know, that this week proving me. I mean, you're playing against Darius Slay, and I think the, you know, they traded for Harrison, and right before trade deadline. Max. I mean, the defense isn't bad.
Yeah, but they're not great either.
Yeah, but I still think, I mean, that's for Trubisky, like, that's still like should be like a decently tough defense for him to face, and he. I mean, that game is, like, showing me that he's got something, and I just need to be proven probably a little bit more. I still don't know if he's that franchise quarterback, but, I mean, that's a heck of a game. I mean,
I still
can't argue with that.
I took away the division, but, yeah, I mean, they look like they could be building something solid there. It'd be nice if, like, they'd get some more production out of Jordan Howard than that, but that's just fantasy football related. Then, the real GOAT, Drew Brees, taking down the Bengals 51-14 in what people were trying to call the trap game. They thought the Saints were going to lose this one, but it wasn't
not
even a competition.
GOAT. Yep. They,
yeah.
I, which, They don't have AJ Green, which is a big thing. But I mean, honestly, like the Saints defense actually showed up, which, you know, they've had struggles with. Like, their defense is good, and I'll defend their defense all day, but they've given up a lot of yards, a lot of points, and that defense actually showed up. Their run defense still needs a little help. Joe Mixon still went for 61 yards, which this is going to take me into what I'm going to say next, but their defense is great. And Dalton had a decent completion percentage, but I mean, he threw two interceptions, so that defense went off. Drew Brees, you know, goat crossing. Alvin Kamara had two touchdowns, which I don't know if you saw that stat. Kamara has played 25 games and has 28 touchdowns, which is pretty crazy. Which I know you're a big Kamara guy, so you're just like, yep, I told you so.
Yeah, I told everyone. I still remember last year when I drafted him in my fantasy leagues, because he was my sleeper from the draft on. In one of my leagues, this dude shot me a text after I drafted him. He goes, "Who is Alvin Kamara?" And I was like, just you'll see. Just wait.
Sweet.
Yeah.
But yeah, like back to my Joe Mixon thing. 11 carries, 61 yards, which, dude, 11 carries is too little for Joe Mixon, in my opinion. Should be getting the ball 20 carries a game. You don't have AJ Green. I'm not high on Tyler Boyd. I'm not high on John Ross. Like, yeah, they're great route runners, but in no way do I think that they're, you know, franchise number one receivers. Neither of them should be sitting at wide receiver one spots, which obviously they are now because Green won't be back till December. But the Bengals have to realize that Dalton's not playing well. They're losing AJ Green. They got to start building around Joe Mixon. If they don't go offensive line in this draft, I'm going to scream in pain for my Oklahoma boy, Joe Mixon, because dude's a beast. And the Saints have actually done decent against the run this year, and he's still went off for 61 yards, which is good against that defense. The Bengals got to help him out, man. That O-line is terrible. They got to realize that they have a franchise running back with Joe Mixon. And I think he's made that apparent. I think they just need to realize they need to start helping him out with an aging AJ Green. And, you know, their two biggest playmakers are Green and Eifert, but Eifert can't stay healthy for more than three games. So
pretty much. Yeah. And, while we're on the Saints real quick, earlier this week, shouted out, well, quoted Colin Cowherd earlier, and just to stick with that topic, because two of his favorite segments, and I do listen to all his episodes, basically, but two of his favorite segments are, here's what I'm going to praise about Tom Brady, and here's what I'm going to bash about Aaron Rodgers. And this week, it was, we talk about Rodgers versus Brady, and he claims it's not even close in the comparison of Rodgers and Brady, because he only is counting championships. But then he went on to say, is Aaron Rodgers even better than Drew Brees? And so that's kind of a slight at both of them, I'd say, because why is Drew Brees not brought up in the conversation of being better than Tom Brady? Like, those three are the top three quarterbacks in the NFL currently playing right now. Overall, hands down, no one is close at number four. And so why is it that, like, Brady's a... because he's got so many Super Bowls, like I just don't see
so stupid
what Brady does as far as athletically. And yeah, I mean, I'm not trying to take away from Brady. Obviously, he's great. Look at everything he's accomplished as a, you know, what, sixth round draft pick, like, it completely overlooked. Yeah, like, good for him. But why are we, especially, my favorite is the bandwagon fans, you know, that are LeBron fans in the NBA, but then Brady fans in the NFL. They talk about, how come when you compare LeBron and Jordan, all you do is count rings, and then they go to the NFL and all they do is count Brady's rings? Like, it's the hypocrisy. I'm not going to stay on it. I'm just saying, like, I don't understand why Drew Brees doesn't get brought up in the GOAT conversation. I mean, look at the numbers he's putting.
Yeah, he's getting talked about more now, I think, but
Finally,
it's pretty lame. I saw a video of Good Morning Football talking about it, and they were talking about Drew Brees, and can't remember the guy's name right now, but he was talking about, because of Brady, he was like, he's got 5 rings, and I'm like, you guys need to stop making excuses that rings are, like, that's an accomplishment for a quarterback to get a Super Bowl, but that's a team win. Brady,
football is like the most, football and baseball are kind of the most team game. Like, an individual can't go win you a ring. In the NBA, an individual can win you a ring. So,
yeah,
like, the ring conversation is a little more relevant in the NBA than in the NFL and MLB. Because, I mean, look at Mike Trout. He's hands down the best baseball player there is. And he can't even get to the playoffs because he is on hands down one of the worst teams ever.
Yeah. Yeah.
So,
it's apparent in those situations for sure.
Yeah. But moving on, this is going to be your favorite game of the day. How about the Browns and the Falcons?
All right, everybody say it with me. Baker Mayfield.
How about Nick Chubb?
Nick Chubb went off. We were talking about right before this, about time that the Browns realized Georgia puts out the NFL running backs. He literally just absolutely went off.
Yeah, dude, running back you.
Almost. Yeah, over 200 all-purpose yards. Just literally, tore up Atlanta. Baker Mayfield,
breaking out a 92-yard run.
Yeah, Baker Mayfield, 17 for 20, 216, 3 touchdowns, higher passer rating than Drew Brees yesterday.
Wow.
And then he actually, I don't know if you saw this, he's the only rookie in NFL history with 150-plus passer rating. On 20 or more pass attempts in a single game. Baker Mayfield.
His touchdown throw where roll into the right. Gosh. Oh, my. That was pretty impressive. And they were saying he was too small to make those throws. But
I know, which is crazy because he did that in college. Like, I saw that, and it was flashbacks to OU because.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I saw that throw, and it just, like, made me appreciate it. And it's like, go figure. Hugh Jackson's out of Cleveland, and the offense starts going. And Todd Haley, which he had no idea how to even work with a quarterback like Baker. It's good to see that the offense is actually clicking. Baker did a really good job at. He actually spread the ball around. He threw to, let me count him here, 9 different receivers. Callaway, Perryman, Chubb, Duke, Higgins, Jarvis, and Njoku, Charles, Hillard. He spread the ball around great. He was moving that offense. I tweeted yesterday, I still don't know how people think that Darnold was the best quarterback in this draft. I mean, yes, the Jets and the Browns are both, like, there's nothing really going on those teams, but Baker Mayfield is still, in my opinion, working with less. And, I mean, he doesn't have a head coach, technically. He has an interim head coach. Doesn't really have an offensive coordinator. You got the
Gray
defensive
coordinator. Does not look bad, though.
I know. And Baker Mayfield is easily overcoming more than in the defense of Josh Rosen. Josh Allen keeps getting hurt.
I think Josh Rosen might actually be in the most dysfunctional situation at the moment. But I mean, Cleveland's Cleveland for a reason. Like, that's definitely, Baker's got a lot to overcome there. But we'll run through a couple more of these real quick and interest of time, because it is coffee blitz. So favorite upset of the day is the Titans just putting an absolute beat down on New England, 34-10. Tom Brady, 21 of 41, no touchdowns. Derrick Henry got a couple touchdowns. Corey Davis had a nice little day, I see. And so down go the Patriots. That's big. Chiefs pick up another game for the first place lead.
in Buffalo wipes New York.
Yeah, they wax them. Matt Barkley, how about it? Nice little day for him. Right? Speaking of USC quarterbacks. And then, Wheeloo, let's see. Colts Jaguars, yeah. Let's see. I watched the end of that game.
Close game there.
I watched the end of that game. It ended with the, what was it, a fumble? Yeah. And the Colts got the ball back. That was a pretty good game, back and forth, obviously. Happy to see the Jaguars take another loss. I'm pulling for Andrew Luck and the Colts to sneak in with a wild card spot. I really hope they get it done, so I'm happy to see them. They started, 1-5, and now they've won 3 straight, and they're up to 4-5.
Yeah, it's interesting that people still want to talk on Andrew Luck, and it's like, are you guys going to realize yet, or are we still going to make excuses and try to... Are you still going to try to tell me that Andrew Luck is not... Dude, I don't know. He's an elite quarterback. He's an elite, yeah. He's an elite quarterback in my mind. I don't care what anybody says. I'm going to say now.
Look what happens when he finally gets an O-line and a decent defense. And, like, yeah, just... Obviously, he started the season slow because he comes off an injury. But, man, he's looking good. And that Colts team is only going to get better.
Did you see the Quentin Nelson thing where he was screaming and he just like literally, I think he ran Miles Jack over. I didn't see the player, but
I didn't see the actual video, but I got a notification about it.
You gotta watch it because he's just like screaming. It's literally the most hilarious here. I'll for the entertainment purposes on our podcast here, I'll play you guys a little audio clip of it because it's lit. I opened that notification this morning.
Yeah, I got that. I just didn't open it yet. That's one of the best audios I've heard. He's having fun.
He he's living up to his draft position for sure, and he's going to be a Hall of Famer easily.
Oh, yeah.
Washington, Tampa Bay, snooze fest to me.
Redskins
that was the
win.
Worst game this week, honestly.
Yeah. Redskins win, Alex Smith doing Alex Smith things in the regular season, and then they'll lay an egg in the playoffs. And yeah, that's basically it for Washington. And then, you know, Fitzmagic, you know, he put up 400 yards, but he threw 2 interceptions, so... Yeah, that's definitely the snooze fest game of the week. Chargers had a tough one. Not really. Playing the Raiders. And they win by 14, but, you know,
I expected more.
They kind of pulled the Chiefs where, like, it's an easy game. And, I mean, obviously the rivalry games and division games and stuff, but still pretty easy game. And, you know, they kind of seemed like they kind of slept walk through it or whatever. But, yeah, easy win for them. Won by 14. Rams Seahawks, that was a good game. I don't know how much of that you caught. I kind of caught the tail end of it, but yeah, it was a really exciting game. I watched the end when Russell Wilson floated a pass over. I believe it was Lockett. He floated over his head on 4th down, so the Rams come away with the W, which I'm fine with because I didn't really want to face the Rams next week, coming off 2 straight losses. So, so yeah, we know. Todd Gurley and Jared Goff are going to have a heyday with our defense, so, yeah.
Yeah, Todd Gurley is going to run for a lot in that game. I'm just going to tell you that right now.
Oh, I completely agree.
Past that, Green Bay puts a beat down on Miami. I don't know if you said that already.
No, I was holding on to that one for my last afternoon game. Yep, Green Bay 31, Miami 12. It was the Aaron Jones show, so, you know, Aaron starring again, just not the Aaron you were looking for. Yeah, 15 carries, I believe it was 145 yards, and he put up 2 touchdowns. Just monster day for Aaron Jones. And, you know, I'm sick of people telling me all about how Green Bay doesn't have a running back and they should trade for this person, or they should burn a first-rounder on this running back. Like, Aaron Jones is the guy. He missed the first couple games due to suspension to start the year. Aaron Jones is the guy. He's got the job. Green Bay just doesn't run the ball enough because of McCarthy's play calling. Finally gave him the ball, and look what happens. So, everything's good in Green Bay. Hopefully we roll on that momentum and just rattle off some wins and see what we can make happen. But, yeah, their backs are against the wall because of a disappointing first half of the season, but isn't that how it always works with Aaron Rodgers?
Right.
And then the
I was just gonna say this game tonight, which is I'm assuming what you were about to say as
actually,
well.
Actually, I was gonna roll into the Sunday night game.
Oh yeah, Sunday night game last night. Zeke went off. Dallas started out really slow, and I was like, well, this is the end of Dallas here. They're just gonna go down. But Zeke turned it on. 151 yards rushing, crazy, on 19 carries. Got a touchdown. Dak Prescott had one run on the ground, one through the air. No INTs. I don't know if you saw, but I can't remember which offensive lineman got injured last night, but that offensive line is beat up, and it is, to me, exposing Dallas that they've had a lot of success with a great O-line, but Zeke is still top three NFL running back, and he made that apparent last night that he doesn't need, you know, his full starting all-star O-line. Amari Cooper, great trade to Dallas. Six catches, 75 yards, no touchdowns, but he's producing better in Dallas, which I actually like Amari Cooper a lot, and so I was actually real happy to see him get out of Oakland. So
yeah.
I think that trade's working out for him. So
you know I don't like Dallas, obviously, but I'm all right with them staying competitive and winning a couple games. Because go ahead, Jerry, put the money, invest in Dak, and don't draft Drew Lock. I'm completely fine with that, because as good of a situation going to Dallas as I think would be for him, having Zeke and Amari in that O-line, plus a pretty good pass rush on the defensive side, like, I think that'd be a good situation. I don't want to have to root for Drew Lock in a Cowboy uniform. So that's all right. Yep. I'm completely fine. Dallas, you go ahead and beat Philadelphia. That was a disappointing game. I thought the Eagles were going to roll. Carson Wentz still looked pretty good. Zach Ertz had a monster game, as he typically does.
Monster game. Leading receiver, even though the new addition of Golden Tate, and I thought Golden Tate would do way better, but he was pretty quiet. But yeah, Zach Ertz leading the way there. And then tonight's game is like the battle for the, you know, second or third round pick, pretty much. Because 1-7 Giants, 2-7 49ers, so.
If Justin Herbert
goes in, but I think he's gonna realize that he can get drafted really high, and then he'll go still. So, but
yeah, I think, I mean, he can look at Drew Lock for reference. At the end of the year last year, everyone was so high on Drew Lock, and now they're kind of taking a step back, even though if you look closely at Drew Lock, and I know we want to talk some college football, so I'm going to jump into it. He's dealt with his two main receivers being injured. His defense hasn't been good. His run game's been streaky all year. And his pass protection's actually not been as good this year as it was last year. They still do a pretty good job of keeping him clean back there, but he's definitely taking more hits. He's been hurried more, and he's been sacked more this year already, I believe. He was the least sacked quarterback last year. And so, you know, things have been rough for Drew Lock. I honestly think Missouri, if Emmanuel Hall is dressed and playing in the South Carolina game and the Kentucky game that we should have won, and he's not being, I think he dressed in the Kentucky game, but he was really just used as a decoy. And then Nate Brown was out as well. You know, it's been an injury riddled season, but, you know, Mizzou could easily only have two losses, just as easy as they have four. Like, they're 6-4 right now. They could be 8-2, and that's just kind of, it's been that kind of year for them, and so it's disappointing to see. Obviously, I didn't have any expectations of beating Bama or Georgia, but the South Carolina and Kentucky games were absolute killers. But Drew Lock did redeem himself. He had a monster day against Florida in Florida, so I think that kind of put him back on some people's radar, and they realized, okay, when he's fully healthy and he doesn't have to carry a team by himself, he's the real deal. So disappointing season for Mizzou, but I'm happy for Drew Lock because he seems to be clicking now.
Yeah, I just, you know, every Oklahoma game I'm cringing because even with the departing of Mike Stoops, we can't do anything on defense. That secondary is just...
Hang on. Did you... I'll let you continue on in a sec, but did you get this notification? Cooper Kupp suffers torn ACL and he's done for the year. Wow. I did not know he got hurt.
Yeah, they... I think he got re-hurt yesterday, and they're stupid. They should have let him play in the first place. They should have just at least put him maybe on IR the first time anything happened, or they shouldn't have played him because then he probably wouldn't have torn his ACL. But yeah, Oklahoma linebackers are solid. Defensive line needs to get more pressure, but that secondary is just gross. And if we want to have any chance of, even if we do get into the playoffs, if we want to have any chance of doing anything, we have to do something about that, because we can't give up to, we can't keep making all these Big 12 quarterbacks look like round one prospects, because that's what we're doing. Kyler Murray still, you know, is doing Kyler Murray things. Honestly, we probably should have lost that game, or at least, I won't say that. I say that that game should have gone longer. I don't know why OSU's quarterback decided to go for 2 points. That didn't make very much sense to me, but kudos to Trey Brown for coming up with the deflection to make sure that they didn't get that 2-point conversion. But Kyler Murray is doing great. Sermon's doing great. Kennedy Brooks, the freshman, is, watch out for him next year. If Trey Sermon is gone this year, Kennedy Brooks is going to be a name that's going to be up there in the college running backs.
That's Oklahoma's like we talked about Georgia being running back university. Oklahoma's another school, man. They always have a top running back.
Oh yeah, always. And Rodney Anderson declared for the draft, even though he's been injured this year. But
and while we're bringing some recognition and putting some respect on people's name, can we please get Shea Patterson some recognition? Because, like, I don't understand why, like, Herbert's getting all this talk and everything. I know Shea Patterson's in more of a run dynamic Harbaugh offense, but man, that dude makes plays when he needs to. And, you know, he put up three, I know he's going against Rutgers, but he put up three touchdowns and he looks solid on Saturday. Caron Higdon, unfortunately, his 100 yards game streak came to an end, but obviously it didn't matter because we played Rutgers and we rolled 42-7. So one more week, can't remember who we play, but we got another sleeper game. So we just need to go in, take care of business. And then it's Ohio State hate week. So,
yeah, the games this week for the top 25 are just, I mean, Alabama plays the Citadel, which is like, okay.
It's so bad.
Classic
it's
Alabama
so bad.
Schedule.
Yeah, I know. It's so bad that SEC flexed Missouri and Tennessee to their main game.
Also,
and that should tell you all we didn't know. Yeah, Michigan's got Indiana at home.
No, that's a win. Also, anybody that thinks that Alabama can compete with an NFL team, please stop. Just put your opinions away if you think that Alabama can play an NFL team and win.
I would love to see it, but I don't think they would do anything.
Yeah, like they could play the 1-7 Giants right now and get absolutely destroyed. There's a difference, everybody. These are 20-year-old players going, and then if you put them against, you know, people in their mid-20s, late-20s who have been in the NFL for a few years, no way. That's just being talked about again a lot, and it just, anytime I see that, I'm like, please stop. There's no way.
Anytime someone's like a one-win team in the NFL, and then you got like a Bama or like a Duke basketball team, then they always make those comparisons. Yeah, it's ridiculous, but anyways. Yeah. I would love for them to start setting up these exhibitions because I'm all about it. Kyler Murray looks like him and Trey Sermon are going to have a field day because you guys bring in the Rock Chalk Jayhawks.
Yeah, it's going to be a good little game for us. I mean, as long as our defense doesn't, you know, make KU's offense look crazy, but I think we'll be all right.
Yeah, KU's actually got a running back this year, but I hope you guys roll them like you should.
Yeah. Yeah, we've been good against the run with, you know, with our star linebacker who is a giant, Kenneth Murray, literally.
Kenneth Murray.
Can't yep. wait for he's a stud too. I think he's gonna translate well into the NFL. Kind of reminds me of Tremaine Edmonds a lot. Just that big.
Ooh, that's a good comp.
Big body and just able to make tackles. So that's gonna be a good one to see as well. Kind of in the realms of college players going to the NFL. Let's talk about who your offensive rookie and defensive rookie of the year, if the season were to end right now. Yeah, go ahead and you can go ahead and lead the way on that one, Caleb.
Ooh, offensive rookie and defensive rookie of the year for the whole NFL?
Yep.
I'll let you take...
The season ended.
I'll let you go first, because I actually need to think about this for a sec.
Cool. I've been thinking about this a lot, because I've just been poking around at, like, different articles and seeing a lot of people predicting Saquon Barkley, and I can see that, but you know where I'm going to go. I'm going to go with my boy.
You're going
I think,
Baker.
Yeah, I'm going to go with my boy Baker. It's going to be, I think it's going to be really a hard, tough decision between Baker and Saquon Barkley as it appears. Like, if the season ended right now, I think those two are easily up there. Actually, the odds that just got put out, Saquon and Baker are the top two positions. Kerryon Johnson's having a good year, too. I don't know how Sam Darnold is even remotely above him or Chubb or Michelle or Calvin Ridley. A sleeper.
Ridley's so streaky.
Yeah, and I think, so I'm going to say Baker, but I'll keep it interesting as a little sleeper rookie of the year. I'm going to say Phillip mm-hmm. Lindsay. He is flying under the radar still. And, look at the year he's having. He's keeping up pace. Rushing yards, he's keeping pace with Saquon Barkley. So it's like, why shouldn't he have just as fair of a chance?
You know who Phillip Lindsay's reminded me of this year?
Who's that?
I'll give you a hint. It was a rookie last year.
Alvin Kamara.
I knew that's who you were going to guess. I would say Kareem Hunt. My reason is Phillip Lindsay would be in the conversation of offensive player of the year, rookie offensive player of the year for sure, if Denver was like Kansas City last year, where they were one of the best teams in football. But unfortunately, because he's on Denver and Denver's having a down year, he's not getting the recognition he deserves.
Yeah.
So my rookie offensive player of the year, I'll go with Saquon Barkley because you took Baker. Yeah, I'll roll with Saquon. He's having a good year on a dumpster fire of a team. So it's easy. Like I was just talking about with Phillip Lindsay, it's easy to overlook some people's production when they're on such a terrible team.
Right.
So yeah, I'll go Saquon Barkley. Defensive. Did you say you're defensive?
I have not, but you can start on your defensive.
Okay. Well, my sleeper that is not going to win it is not my pick. But keep an eye on my boy Jair Alexander. Dude's having a solid year. He looks good.
I think he could actually win it, but.
And then, so with that, I'll transition to my winner. The other guy, I would have been all right with the Packers, even though I love how the Packers drafted. The other guy I really wanted them to take, Derwin James. That's my winner.
Yeah, that's a good. I would say that's a pretty good chance there.
He's dominant.
I think if I look at it, I'm going to, if things continue the way they are going for this guy right now, I'm going to say Bradley Chubb's going to take that. And I'm not just saying that as a Broncos fan.
Ooh, yeah. I like the Bradley Chubb.
Yeah. It was a little slow start. And there's a lot of people that were like, is he actually going to be what everybody said, said he was going to be. And then he just week five, the Cardinals game, actually, that's the game he he kind of awoke, and we're starting to see that Von Miller Chubb duo that everybody was afraid of at the beginning of the season when we took him in the draft. So I think,
which is perfect, because then y'all can let Shane Ray go, and then he can come home to Kansas City. Yeah, and then
he'll break his leg or hurt his hand, hurt his wrist again, right when he lands off the plane. Love you, Shane, but you get injured all the time.
Love you more, Shane. M-I-Z.
I think you're gonna like my little sleeper defensive rookie of the year pick. I'm gonna go with Darius Leonard, outside linebacker for the Indianapolis Colts. He's having a really good year. Looks like he's having 90. He has 96 combined tackles right now. 64 individually. 4 sacks. 2 passes defended. He's having a really good year in his position. And he's continuing to make his case for Defensive Rookie of the Year. Do I think it's going to happen? Probably not. But he's playing real, real good. And I think that was actually a really good pick by Indianapolis because they needed help in that linebacker spot.
Just in the defense overall.
He's also got 3 forced fumbles. He's looking really good. I like Darius Leonard a lot, and he's definitely making his case, so that's going to be my sleeper right here. But yeah.
Yep, I love that pick.
That brings us to a close on the Coffee Blitz. Jason bye week.
Good stopping
Jason
point.
Jason bye week podcast.
You know, I'm kind of bummed because since we took the little shorter route for the podcast without Jason, we didn't really put in any Chargers hate segments, but you know, that's okay. All right. We can call ourselves good friends and say we didn't bash his team behind his back, and we'll just do it directly to his face.
I think we did talk about starting it off with Raiders hate though. So Raiders are still terrible, just to let everybody know. So
yep, true. And the reason Jason's on bye week is because he's coaching a team and they won a big playoff game and they're heading to their Super Bowl. So Congrats to him. He's clearly the coach of the year out in California. That title does not belong to anyone in Oakland.
Yeah. Sorry, Gruden. Yeah. Sorry. I think 2019, we're going to see Gruden hired as fired as head coach. And Jason's going to take that head coaching role, even though I'm sure he would probably decline it. Try it because he probably doesn't want to mess with the Raiders either.
I don't know, man. They're bringing in a lot of draft picks. That's kind of like playing back at this point. I would enjoy taking a shot with those draft picks.
Yeah, I know. You would trade the whole team, though, and have 32 first-round picks, though, so.
You're darn right I would.
Awesome. Well, thanks for listening to me and Caleb ramble for a little bit in this morning edition of the Sports Legacy podcast that we unofficially call Coffee Blitz. Thanks for listening, and y'all have a good week.
Yeah, it's been fun. We'll get Jason back next time, and we'll do the full segment and get some other hot takes in there.
Yep. All right. Have a good one.